Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. The anti-government violence which has attended Pope John Paul II's trip to Chile has intensified before the pontiff's very eyes as he conducted an open-air mass in Santiago. Bert Quint reports.
Tear gas wafted toward the podium and shots were fired, some in the air, some finding human targets as the Pope spoke of peace. The scene, a huge park in Santiago where the pontiff was making a plea for national reconciliation. Amid the confusion and the varied factions involved, the exact scenario remains unclear today. But apparently, protesters against Chile's military regime took over a section of the park. Security forces moved against them with water cannons and tear gas. The demonstrators hurled stones. At least one policeman fired in the air. But it's not clear whose shots were responsible for the wounding of three civilians. Police blame leftist troublemakers. Dozens of other people were injured, some seriously. John Paul was not hurt and may not have been able to make out exactly what was going on at an angle 50 yards away. But he knew there was trouble and left out parts of his prepared homily to end the mass more quickly. It was the latest of a series of demonstrations by opponents of the regime, determined to show the pontiff how they feel about the repressive military government that has ruled this country since 1973. The Pope will be in the provinces until he moves on to Argentina Monday. There could be demonstrations outside the capital, too, but probably not as many or as serious as these. Bert Quint, CBS News, Santiago.
The time, nearing 2 minutes past the hour.
Presenting Lee Knowles, chairman of Beaulieu Vineyard, with some thoughts on wine.
What's the quickest way to know if you're buying a good wine? Well, for some people, it's by counting up the number of medals that wine has won. To me, that sounds like a better way to rank an Olympic pole vaulter than a fine bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon. It's not how many medals a wine has won, but why it's won so many. Now, at Beaulieu, or BV as we call it, we've won plenty of medals, and we're certainly proud of them all. But we're more proud of the way we've been making great-tasting wine for over 86 years. The way we get up every morning to take care of our grapes, so that every glass of BV you pour is a glass you'll enjoy. After all, we know people don't drink medals. They drink wine.
When you know the finest wine, you know BV. BV Wines, Rutherford, California.
President Reagan heads north tomorrow for talks with Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney. Administration officials are cautioning against expecting any major announcements. We have two reports from the White House and Ottawa.
Trade, acid rain, and the free passage of American warships through Canadian Arctic waters are among the top issues on the agenda. Canada and the United States are the two largest trading partners in the history of nations. The U.S. exports $47 billion worth of goods to Canada, compared to only $23 billion to Japan. The two countries are currently engaged in negotiations to remove tariffs and other barriers to that trade. By law, they need to reach a deal by the end of the year. But serious obstacles have arisen, not the least of which is a rising anti-American sentiment north of the border. Among other things, Canadians are upset that the United States has not agreed to do more to reduce acid rain, the industrial emissions that drift northward from U.S. smokestacks. Mr. Reagan is expected to renew promises to research acid rain with the hope that that may clear the way for a trade agreement by the year's end. Terrence Smith, CBS News, the White House.
During a recent visit to the Canadian capital, Vice President George Bush said he got an earful from Prime Minister Mulroney. The Canadian leader told Bush how upset Canada was about the hefty tariffs the Reagan administration imposed on cedar shake and shingle imports from Canada. There are other trade irritants between the two countries, for example, disputes over softwood lumber and steel. As well, Canada wants President Reagan to make some stronger commitments on fighting acid rain and wants the Americans to accept Canada's claim to ownership of the Northwest Passage. Canadian government officials say relations between the two countries have been difficult in the past few months. The officials say the Prime Minister won't be afraid to speak his mind, but he doesn't believe he'll accomplish anything by haranguing Reagan. The two leaders are said to have an excellent personal relationship. This summit is coming at a time when both men are having rough rides domestically. Reagan is trying to recover from the Iran arms scandal, and Mulroney has been rocked by scandals involving some of his cabinet ministers. Kathy Linus, for CBS News, Ottawa.
Time on the roundup, 5 minutes past seven.
If you're 65 or more, or you know someone who is, will you just drop what you're doing? Oh, unless you're drinking a cup of coffee, of course, because that could smart. And listen, I got something important to tell you. They're back! No, I'm not talking about Studebakers. They're gone. I'm talking about Southwest Airlines special fares for seniors. They start at just $15. Can you believe it? $15! Now, there's some extra stuff you gotta know, and here's the guy to tell you. You better take notes, though. He talks awfully fast. He really does. Southwest special seniors. Your fares start at just $15 and are available through May 30th on flights Monday through Thursday and Saturday. No advance purchase necessary, but seats are limited. Imagine that, a special senior fare starting at just $15. Now all you gotta do is get on the horn to Southwest Airlines or your travel agent and you're on your way. But first you gotta say those magic words. Now you know what they are, don't you? Well then, sing along with me, would you?
Why Southwest Airlines.
Now, it's the British threatening trade sanctions against Japan. Alan Pizzi explains.
A British government mission is heading for Japan today to try and avert a trade war. On Thursday, the British cabinet took powers enabling it to shut down Japanese financial institutions here unless Tokyo eases trade restrictions in its domestic market. The British insist they don't want a fight, but have made it clear they are fed up. They want access to the Tokyo Stock Exchange and a greater share of other Japanese markets. The Japanese government has already politely dismissed British requests to that effect. Japanese financial institutions in Britain outnumber their British counterparts in Japan by about 7-1, and they dominate the lucrative consumer markets. There are fears in London's financial circles that coming down hard on the Japanese could force them to pull out and damage England more than Japan. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, London.
Wall Street's bulls have been delighted with the market's spectacular advance since the first of the year, but even they were astonished by yesterday's action when the averages performed as if they'd been shot out of a cannon. Correspondent Doug Poling has some insight on what propelled the Dow Industrials to a record 70-point gain.
It was another case of a strong stock market feeding on itself. The market opened higher and kept on moving up. The bond market was strong, and that triggered computerized buy programs. Short sellers, sophisticated investors who were betting on a pullback, were caught in a squeeze and had to buy in order to cut their losses. When they did, that drove the market even higher. There was no special news item that started all this. Analysts say it's just more of the same. There's lots of idle cash around looking for a good return. Other investments are not yielding that much, so stocks seem like the place to go. But Wall Street veterans such as William Lefebvre of Advest & Company are urging caution. He's telling investors to hedge some of their holdings.
I have suggested that they raise something between 10% and 33% of the value of their stock portfolios and put it in a parking place, whether it's a money market fund or a treasury bill or something of that sort. Because I do think that while the correction has not yet come, believe me, it will.
And at these levels, even a modest 10% decline would trim nearly 240 points from the Dow Jones Industrials. Doug Poling, CBS News, New York.
The storm that shocked the South has moved on into the Ohio Valley and Appalachians, dumping wet April snow at the rate of an inch an hour in some places. Police dispatcher Debbie Witt says the folks in Beckley, West Virginia, just can't believe it.
Imagine everything with about 13, 14, 15 inches of snow on top of it, and that's just in the city limits. And the outlying areas, it's worse. As you get into the higher elevations, it's a little bit deeper.
In eastern Kentucky, near blizzard conditions have left as much as a foot and a half of snow on the ground.